We welcome you again to Meditation Moments and this little time of prayer and reading God's Word and talking about the things of the Lord. If there are any new listeners, we surely welcome you to these few moments. We trust that you'll stay with us and have just a brief time alone with the Lord. We have been asked sometimes, and those who have written in to us, why we speak so much about the Lord's healing. Well, I don't want that you ask that question if you're not familiar with the Lord's healing yourself, but I could answer that there are many reasons. One, of course, one principal reason is that God's Word is just full of healing. The ministry of Jesus Christ was so filled with it. You know that page after page in the Word is about His healing the sick and examples of it, like the nobleman's son and the woman touched the hem of his garment. And why, I don't see how you can ask a question that some have asked, have you been reading God's Word like I have thought you were reading it? And I think also that I want to talk about a great deal because I believe it so glorifies the Lord. I know that those that have been wondrously healed have been people that have walked very close to the Lord. They've had a touch of His Spirit, and they have found Him so real. Oh, it makes Christ so very real to you when you depend upon Him for physical things, and you make Him your great physician. Now, that doesn't mean at all, and I want to make it clear again, that doesn't mean at all that one cannot be healed by a doctor. I believe in doctors. I believe that many doctors are even godly men, very godly men. And I know there have been many, many thousands of people that doctors have brought through to health and have been a great source of blessing. I believe also that there is such a thing as the mind bringing about certain kinds of metaphysical healing. I believe that. I believe there's healing by nature, where one obeys the laws of nature and then you're healed. But I wonder if you've ever thought about those dear souls. The doctor is told there's no hopes for them. I wonder if you ever thought about those that have had to face it, that without something miraculous happening, that it's the end of everything for them, that death is sure for them. I wonder if you've thought about them and had pity and mercy upon them, because that was my case. I came at the end of everything that man could do. The doctors told me they couldn't do anything more for me at all. And so I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ after my husband had brought me to the Lord and I was born again. Then I took Him as my healer, and He did what no man can do. Then I believe it because I've seen so many, many people wonderfully healed and go on living in health and usefulness for the Lord. I have read also of many wonderful miracles of healing. You know, God's Word's a miraculous book anyhow. I don't see how you can read it and not believe in miracles. Why, Christ's a miraculous person. It's a book. The Bible is about a miraculous person. And if you take the miraculous out of the Bible, it wouldn't be worth the paper that it's written on, because I say it is a miraculous book. If you know Him then as your healer, it just means that you've laid on Him just that much more of your inheritance. That's all. In the last analysis, it's just a little more of Jesus Himself to take Him as your healer. Someone has said that divine healing has its foundation in the cross, its authority in the Scriptures, its operation on the Godward side through the Holy Spirit, its operation on the manward side through prayer, faith, and the name of Jesus. Its continuation through the life of Jesus, its chief end, the glory of God, and its object to call attention of the unbeliever to the Christ who saves. You know, God's Word says skin for skin, and what will not a man give for his life? And it certainly is true, because I've known people that never would have gotten the Lord if it hadn't been that they came seeking healing. I can remember meeting in a Baptist church years and years ago in Santa Cruz an infidel who had ridiculed our coming there, and he'd made all sorts of sarcastic remarks about a woman speaker. But you know, he was stricken with cancer, and when we went back there the next time, he was seeking help which no man could give him. No one could help him. His case was hopeless. And then it was through that physical need that he sought God's help, and he was saved. He was truly born again, and thank God he was healed also. You must begin with God's word. Without the Bible, you're utterly at sea as to what God's will is along any line. You must believe the Bible to be not merely contain the word of God, but to be the word of God. And God is honored above all his name, and you make no mistake when you do the same. And if we do not believe that all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable, then God's message to our heart and life will be meaningless. Now, there's so much scripture that's about the Lord's healing, and surely you accept it along with the rest. And God's word says the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible declares him to be the Son of God with power. Faith appropriates him as such, and the Holy Spirit reveals him to the trusting heart. And every blessing originates in the cross. So blessings have never been abrogated. Why should you think that bodily blessings would be so? Someone has said there's two streams of blessings that flow from the cross, one for the soul, the other for the body. Even as David said, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases." Two streams of blessing flowed on through all the apostolic era. This being true, then when did God reveal it to be his will that one stream should cease to flow and the other should go on? He began both to do and to teach. Well, when did his operation cease? Jesus intended the development and increase of his ministry. Through a promised Pentecost, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus did not save 3,000 in one day, but Peter was instrumental in so doing. That was one of the greater works. Let's not ignore the first part of this text. "The works that I do shall he do also." Soul's need comes first. Oh, I think you know that, and you surely know we believe it. That's sure, but the atonement made provision for your bodily need too. Then why not have what belongs to you? Luther was right in saying the miracle of grace in the heart is far above any physical miracle. But along with this, he assigned the Bible miracles their proper place in the development of faith. Won't you do the same? Have the gospel shorn of miracles, it would present a Christ shorn of power, a Savior in name, but not in fact. You look up to him for yourself today. He's so willing. He's so loving. He's so gracious, willing to touch you. Oh, I love this old song. "Overcomes a wondrous message when my hopes are growing dim. I can hear it through the darkness like some sweet and far-off hymn. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. No man can work like him. When my frame is worn with sickness and with tears my eyelids swim, I can hear the promise ringing like some sweet and heavenly hymn. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. No man can work like him. And when my way is closed in darkness and my foes are fierce and grim, still it sings above the conflict like some glad victorious hymn. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. No man can work like him. And when my heart is crushed with anguish and the waters reach the brim, faith can hear the mighty chorus like some mighty battle hymn. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. No man can work like him. Oh, let us claim the mighty promise. Let us light the torches dim. Let us join the mighty chorus. Let us swell the glorious hymn. Nothing is too hard for Jesus. No man can work like him. Keep on believing. Jesus is here. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Oh, keep on believing. Hold on. Don't let anyone discourage you. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your heart buried in his precious word. Remember, his hand is at the helm of the universe. Divine sovereignty reigns. He's still on the throne, and prayer changes things.